Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. And we are here with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce bullpen in relief for Lyle Butler. We got Trent Armbrust, the Director of Economic Development. And we also got John Pagan in studio with us this morning. He is the VP of Community Development. And John, you had some workforce initiatives that you wanted to go over.
Yes, Brady. I just want to talk about a couple of, I think, really good ideas that we have a business education task force. Kristen Brighton with New Boston has been spearheading this. And two of the really good ideas, and we got these ideas from interregion visits to other communities like Fayetteville, Arkansas, Columbia, Missouri, you know, places like that. And one of them is career exploration days where we take high school kids on four of their off days from school. And the first day we have businesses come into the high school. Again, it's a day off of school for conferences. And the businesses talk to the students, kind of a round robin thing. The other 3 days throughout the school year, we just finished up a couple weeks ago, we go on site to businesses in Manhattan. And of course, we're all in our own bubble in our worlds. And a lot of these kids didn't know how many amazing things are in Manhattan. And just one I'll point out, we went to the NBAF site, and Tim Barr, who's working on the NBAF project, came onto the bus and talked to the kids about what's going on there. And a lot of them were really amazed that something of that scale is in Manhattan. And, of course, we know about it because it's kind of our business to know. But if you're someone growing up here, you've got other things going on in your life, you may not appreciate it. So that's been a great event. Another one I wanted to mention real quick is there are 22 fourth-grade classes in USD 383. And this year we hooked up a business with each of those fourth-grade classes. The business pays a fee, which goes towards T-shirts and enrichment for the teachers. And then throughout the year, the business visits the classroom, talks about what they do, brings different exercises, or the students can visit the business on site. That's been a phenomenal success. And we're going to kind of reconvene in a few days and go over how we can make it even better for next year. And the last thing I will mention is that our Retire to the Flint Hills campaign at the Chamber started in 2002. Very visionary for a Midwestern town to be going after retirees back in 2002, when the cliche was, oh, you know, they're going to go to Florida or Arizona or whatever. We just kind of changed the banner on that program to Return to the Flint Hills to also cover workforce. And that's something that we're going to be deploying more in the next year or so. And that's part of one of the tactics of the Greater Manhattan Project is take the Retire to the Flint Hills campaign, modify it to also go after talent that's still in the workforce. So I think a lot of good ideas. A lot of this stuff's going to take time to germinate and show results. But again, like we've been talking about, I think Manhattan has a very good track record of kind of thinking ahead of the curve and getting out in front of these things. So we have a lot of workforce initiatives going on, and we hope to bring even more online later.
Very good. Brady Bowman here with Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce representatives, Trent Armbrust and John Pagan. And you know, gentlemen, one thing that we mentioned a little bit off air, just kind of talking about some of the national conversation and this is something that's been in national conversation for a few years now, talking about the idea of internet sales tax and some of those proposals that's been going on, but seems like it's kind of picking up more and more steam. Seems like every year it's talked about more and actually maybe coming out of some committees in the state legislatures and maybe actually seeing some actual sort of action. I guess just wondering your thoughts on that process and what the business community, what their thoughts are on internet sales tax.
Yeah, Brady, the Chamber has had a position for quite a few years that we support the collection of internet sales tax. We understand the impact that the lack of that collection has not only on the local units of government, but the competitive playing field, leveling that playing field between bricks and mortar establishments and internet-based businesses. It is no secret that the internet has changed the retail landscape in America. We're no different, and that is something that we have to address. Also, as we look at, you know, our government shortfalls, the dollars that we are not receiving due to the lack of internet sales tax at the state and local level, that has a huge impact on our budget and the ability for the state to deliver the services that they need to deliver. So this week it's timely to bring this up. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court heard a hearing between South Dakota and several internet retailers that's looking at the internet sales tax question. Internet sales tax has been, for a long time, there was a Quill decision many years ago that said there had to be a physical nexus in the state in which the business, in order for the business to collect sales tax.
Would that include like a distribution center?
Just distribution center could be such, things like that. This lawsuit is hoping to change some of that, and we'll be, obviously it's a while before the Supreme Court will put out their ruling, but that could change the national discussion on internet sales tax collection. And while the states are taking action, and Kansas is no different, they're taking action so that we can collect sales tax, but it really, it's a federal and a national issue that needs to be resolved at that level.
We do have a phone call. Caller, go ahead. You are on In Focus. Hello, caller.
Hi,
Blake. Hello? Okay, guess not. Definitely try and call again. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. Brady Bowman here with Trent Armbrust and John Pagan of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Dave, we got him back. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Okay, I guess the subject of my question would be, how much is enough? Now, with several items, NBAT's been delayed several years. K-State enrollment is declining and probably will because there's not as many seniors. Fort Riley's downsizing for the reasons we all know. We keep adding businesses, and we have probably a record number of commercial property available at the present in Manhattan since I've been watching it for several years. We have a lot of new homes for sale. We have a lot of infrastructure in, lots, sewer, water. Where do we get to the point that we're satisfied with what we have and go on? Because it seems like a new one comes in, one goes out, one comes in, one goes out. We've lost 19 bars in this area in the last year and a half, Pier, Junction, Ogden, and Wamego. So I guess the crux of my question is, when are we satisfied? And I'd like to listen and I have a follow-up question.
Okay, thank you for the question. When are we satisfied? You know, there's an adage that if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's something that, you know, it doesn't satisfy a lot of people. I think one of the areas that we hope to communicate to people is that we're looking at the growth of primary employers. So those are our employers that sell their goods or services outside of the Manhattan area. That's where I focused almost all of my time. Those are the businesses that bring money into the community, that enrich this community, that make it a place that we all desire to live. And so that's really the focus of our economic development efforts, is the growth of the private sector and the primary employers, but then also supporting K-State and Fort Riley, which are also primary employers. And as you pointed out, as the caller pointed out, we do have businesses that are constantly closing or going away. Things change over time, and so it takes a constant effort to replenish what we currently have. And, you know, businesses are going to change. Times are going to change. Businesses are going to, you know, what they used to provide is no longer going to be demanded, or a technology or a disruption happened in that industry. And so it's a continual effort to maintain what we have and then slowly grow.
Okay, I understand exactly what you said. However, I guess you didn't hit what I asked. How much is enough? When are we happy? Penny stock is at $3.11 today. Sears Holdings is at $3-something. Sears is gone. Penny's is probably not too far down the road. You know, Woolworths is gone. Duckwall's gone. Several major Montgomery Wards. It's a sign of the times. We got them all sitting down there. What are we going to do with that? We promoted that thing real big, and it's a beautiful mall. There's not a nicer mall in the country. Might be one bigger, but there's not a nicer one. That thing looks nice today, and it's been there near 30 years. But this outlying area, and you say we're going to grow and grow and grow, but we need some manufacturing in here. Our biggest manufacturing product is brains, and they leave. We don't manufacture a lot of things in this area. We need some manufacturing with some lunch bucket jobs with people that spend money and have a good wage. We've got a mailbox place out there. They have near 500 people employed. Great deal. We've had some other things out there that are going. That's all back on That's all off the tax roll now because the university bought it. We had an armory out there that we sold to the National Guard. We could have used it for the building we need now. But we got to start thinking ahead and saying, when do we reach that plateau we want to be at? And then build from there. I'll listen to your opinion. You guys are doing a great job. Don't question that a bit. You're doing a great job.
Thank you for your comments. And we, you know, that's a lot of the Greater Manhattan Project that John was talking about earlier addresses a lot of those issues of what do we want our community to be like as we move forward. A lot of the efforts are around workforce, building that quality community that attracts and retains workforce. And that's really the key to any community's future is the quality of the people, the quality of jobs that they have in that community.
John, do you have any thoughts?
Yes, and just to the caller's point, I mean, I think as a community, we just have to be receptive to upcoming trends. I mean, who'd have thought, you know, in the 90s that a company would be making, you know, websites and doing civic engagement things? I mean, we just constantly keep evolving. And if we make the community attractive to talented people, I think that's kind of the secret. If you do that, a lot of these other things hopefully will start to take care of themselves. And I agree with the caller. I come from a manufacturing background. I'm a big fan of it. And I know that the more manufacturing we can get in our community to help diversify the economy, the better off we'll be. I used to work actually at TDM, which is where the armory is now. We did alternate fuel vehicles for Ford and General Motors. And that was a great deal for the community. But that evolved too. That technology kept changing. There's, you know, it's always going to be that way.
Dave, you got some thoughts?
You know, and kind of carrying over what the caller was saying, manufacturing is different. When you talk about what we're doing at Civic Plus or what they're doing there, that's manufacturing, but on a digital scale. And
correct.
That's something that a lot of people don't take into consideration, is that that is kind of a, you know, it is a bit of a blue collar, but it is a tech type job.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wears anything with blue collars. I think they're all wearing T-shirts there. But
it's true.
But it's but that is a manufacturing type of company.
And we're fortunate to have, you know, we don't have a huge manufacturing economy in Manhattan. But I will say that is growing, and we do have some things on the horizon that I think will be announced soon that relate to manufacturing and growth in that sector. And the caller is right. You know, manufacturing is a key component of any community's economic base and growth. And we continue to focus on that.
It's definitely an evolving landscape. I remember one of my history classes at K-State, one of my history teachers talked about how we're not sure the effect television has had on society, right? That even still, we're not really sure exactly what that impact means. I think the same is still true for internet, especially when it comes to like manufacturing and technological advancements. Let's go ahead and take a last break of the hour. We'll come back and talk more. You're on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heartland. 776-9668. Online at restoreoftheheartland.com.
KMAN is keeping it local. Dollars spent locally today help build a better community for tomorrow.
Mid-America Piano has that quality, affordable piano you've been looking for. Famous brands like Steinway, Yamaha, Baldwin, and more. Visit us today just a mile south of Manhattan on Highway 177, and you'll see why folks from all across